given us right now to come together as a family, brothers and sisters, as children of God, to be able to meet together in fellowship, love one another, but more importantly, to study your precious holy word together. I ask, Lord, that all of us here would grow together, that as we hear your word, that it would do its perfect work in all of our lives, and that together we would be more unified, and that we would be knitted together in harmony and in love, and that we would have a bond that can never be broken, and that is stronger than anything. And it's because that you are that bond. You are the thing that knits us together. So let us be knitted together. Let us be kindred spirit, and let us love one another because we love you. So again, we thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Okay, Titus chapter 3, 4. Start at verse 1 though. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now I'm not going to really get to 6 and 7 tonight. I'm going to stick mainly with 4 and touch a little bit on 5 and get more in 5 next week. But the thing that we need to remember here is that He just continues on, reminding them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to submit, and we know the background of these new believers here. It's a pagan society. They're used to serving gods and believing in all these fables and all these customs and traditions that were unnecessary. It was a pagan society, and so they're new believers of various ages. Male, female, young, old, single, married, what have you. Slaves, free men, you know, a variety of new Christians here. And so they're being taught new things they need to be reminded of, just as all of us need to be reminded of. So reminding them to be subject, to be obedient to authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, because as Christians, we have a duty to do these things, to obey, to practice, you know, to keep God's commandments, and to be ready to do good work by good works of serving the body, right? And all of us have a part to play in serving the body of Christ. There's not one Christian who does not have a part. Well, Christians, we all have a part in serving the body of Christ, and it's very important. It's like the little, ugly little fellow has to miss his work, right? Okay, so are you. All of us have a part to play. Okay, and we're to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle to all men, showing all humility to all men. We ourselves, this was from last week, and again, I want to remind you, and this was a very important verse for us all, because sometimes we get almost an arrogance, pride, that, well, I'm a Christian. I don't do those things. Almost putting non-Christians down, and that's wrong. Wrong, because we're to be people of humility, as it just showing humility to all men. Furthermore, Christ is our example of being humble and to not make more of yourself. He came and took upon the nature of a bondservant. So we can't get this attitude of I'm a Christian and looking down on others, okay, and saying you're just no good, I'm a Christian. We can't do that. Why is that important? Why is it important that we can't look down on unbelievers and to never also stop sharing the gospel to them? Why is that important? Anyone remember from last week? What does it say, verse 3?
Do it the same way.
Because we were the same way. We were the same way. We were lost. We were blind. We were without hope. We ourselves were once foolish. We were just like them. And if so, if people looked down on us, or if people gave up preaching the telling and sharing the gospel with us, you know, we would have been lost a long time ago. Because we were sinners and lost and not where we're going. So we need to remember that. But we ourselves were once also foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Verse 4, but, starts it with a but. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared. And that is a very important but here. Okay? Because we were lost. We ourselves were foolish. Walking in darkness, could not save ourselves. The point of verse 3 is to say, hey, you were like this. You were lost. You were in sin. You were enslaved to your sin. You could not save yourself, no matter what you tried to do. No matter how much knowledge you had, no one can save themselves. Salvation is only from the Lord. No man can save you. No woman can save you. Only God. Salvation is from the Lord. And He's telling us here that we were lost. We ourselves were foolish. We were disobedient. We were deceived. We were serving various lusts and pleasures. We were serving the flesh. We were serving our sinful nature in which we were enslaved to and could not free ourselves from. And so now He says, and I love this word here, even though it's a common word, but after we read verse 3, and then we go into verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared. So here is our hope. Here is what we are now. This is what we were, but this is what God has brought us to. This is what He's done for us, because we could not do it for ourselves. So again, reminding us that we were darkness, foolish, deceived, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior towards man appeared, the word kindness, or translated goodness, or the benignity, the word is rendered goodness and good. Kindness, gentleness, is the act of redeeming us. The act of redeeming us was one of the great kindness and goodnesses of all times. Because what other act of kindness or what other act of goodness can there be than for God to redeem us, to save us? You understand that? Think of another act that can be greater than that, that we can be more kind than Him ultimately saving us. And we'll discuss what was the means of that. Ultimately, you know, Him sending His Son, and that whole thing, which was also an act of kindness. But that whole process, okay, that whole process is God and His kindness or His goodness towards us. Can you think of anything else that's more kind than that, than Him saving His enemy? Because that's what the Bible says that we once were. That we were His enemies. That we were at enmity with Him, at war with Him. We did not want Him. Romans 3. We all say to fall short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. And it goes on to say that none of us were looking for God. No, not one was even looking for God. None of us in here can raise our hand and says, oh yeah, I was searching out God to be saved. We were lost. We were in sin. And we were fine with that. When you're, all you know is you're enslaved to sin, well, all you do is sin and sin and sin. And so this magnifies just how kind he is to us. Because when we were his enemy, and when we did not want him, but yet we were rejecting him, he showed kindness to us. He showed us just how good he was to us. And that he would show us favor in redeeming his elect, saving his elect. And still, that even blows my mind. Why I'm chosen for salvation. I'm not worthy. None of us are. So why he, for some reason, chose me to save and to call me a son, I'll never understand. But I'll tell you what, I'm sure I'm glad. And all of us should have the same mentality. We shouldn't be, well, that's not fair for everyone else. You know what? I'm on my knees. God, thank you for choosing me. Thank you for choosing to save me. Right? This is the kindness of God. And it is great. It is a great kindness. It is goodness. Okay? So, but when the kindness and the love of God is the Greek word philanthropia. Philanthropia. And means lover of mankind. Here in Titus we have philanthropia of God as a savior, which means his work in salvation for man. And God is our savior. And a lot of times we hear Jesus our savior, and yes, that's true. But God also is our savior. He is our savior. He showed us philanthropy, the love of God. The love of God. In other words, this was God's plan in salvation for mankind. We were foolish, we were sinful, we were his enemies, we were rejecting him, we were at war with him, we wanted nothing to do with him. And he's shown us kindness. Love. Kindness and love. Now this verse kind of makes a little more sense when it's translated in the King James Version. It says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared. After the fact that, you know, here we are just scumbags, you know, sinners and vile and wretched and not deserving of grace and mercy, not deserving of kindness and love. And yet, he still shows us this. He still sets his love upon us and shows us his kindness and his mercy. And remember, and don't ever forget that we were at him. We're at war with God, and yet he chooses to save us, to love us, to show his kindness towards us. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, towards man, kindness and the love of God pointed towards us and sent out towards us, towards God's elect, appeared. The word appeared is to show forth, or it's made to appear. Okay, and so this takes a place of many different things. So what was the kindness? What was the love of God towards man that appeared? Now we can think of obviously, well, Jesus, he made Jesus appear in the flesh. He showed forth his only begotten Son. But also the Word of God. Here he has Paul as his messenger and many of the other apostles and on down the line to bring forth the gospel. And this is the love of God, that we would have his word. You know, so many times we get, well, yeah, Jesus. I mean, he loved us, he sent Jesus. And yes, that is a great love. He would send his only begotten Son to die. But the Word of God too, him giving us his Word, him sending forth the apostles to go and proclaim the good news. And that's exactly what Paul did here in Crete. He comes to this country and proclaims God's love, preaches Christ and him crucified, and that they can have life. And so they're hearing the good news. And that is the love of God towards man. You understand what I'm saying here? When we hear the Word of God proclaimed and preached towards us, that's the love of God. Because where does faith come? Hearing. Faith comes through hearing, and only through hearing His Word. Faith comes through hearing. And so we have here before us, as did the people. I mean, they had the gospel being laid out right before their eyes. Here's Paul, and then you have Titus, and wherever Titus was going to ordain as an elder to preach them the gospel. Do you guys realize that? Do you guys realize that every time someone preaches you the good news, preaches Christ and Him crucified, preaches the love of God, that that's God's love towards you? When we hear the good news, that is love. That's the love of God towards man. Because it works in us. This is active and alive, and it does its perfect work in our lives. It does not return null and void, but it accomplishes what it's set out forth to do. This right here, God's holy word, God breathed, these are His words. And this is His love towards us. Because it tells us what we need to be, and it helps us to be that. It convicts us. It tells us who God is, tells us what He's done for us. And we read it, and we're enlightened to it, and we understand, and now we can obey and learn and grow and share. It's all in His plan of salvation. And so yes, obviously, Christ appearing, Christ showing forth, is the love of God. But so also is His Word, His Gospel. And so when we hear the Word of God preached to us, that is God loving us. And we need to be thankful. Thankful that, you know, Sundays when we're in church, hearing Pastor Tim, or in your Sunday school classes to all of the different teachers, or your Wednesday night classes, or whatever. And we're going through the Bible, studying and learning. We need to stop and realize, God, thank You for loving me. Thank You for giving me Your Word, Your precious, holy Word. This is Your love towards me. And so when you're in your Sunday school class, or your Ventures class, or sitting in your church service, be thankful. Be thankful that you have the freedom and pleasure to be able to sit and go through God's Word, to hear it. That is a great love for God towards us. Are you hearing me? Okay, and obviously, of course, speaking of Jesus, His Son. And what a great love that God would send His only begotten Son and make Him appear in the flesh, to literally show forth, manifested before the people's eyes. Remember 1 John. We've seen, we've heard, our hands have handled concerning the Word of Life. He was in flesh. He didn't, you know, as the Gnostics, those false teachers, remember? What did they preach? They preached that it just appeared that Jesus had a physical body. What a hypocrisy that is. What a slap in the face to God. Or He didn't really suffer on the cross. Gee, that means the cross wasn't all that much. He didn't really do nothing for me if He didn't suffer. Hypocrisy. And when you hear that type of stuff, get it out. Combat that. But Christ did. He was made manifest. He did come in the flesh. He got hungry. He got tired. He got thirsty. He felt pain. He felt what it was like to be in a human form. And this is a great love from God that He would give to us, Jesus. That He would come and live the perfect life with one purpose in mind. That He would suffer and die for our sins. Now, is that love? Is that love from God? Yes. This is a great love from God. And this is kindness. This is goodness. When you're guilty, when we're guilty, and we deserve death, Christ comes and takes your place. Is there any other love than that, that's greater than that? No. So here we have. And so now let's read this again. Okay? Let's start at verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived. And when you read it, read the word I. So let's start over, okay? For I myself was once foolish. I was disobedient. I was deceived. I was serving various lusts and pleasures. I was living in malice and envy. I was hateful, and I was hating anyone and everyone. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared. The love of God and kindness appeared for me and for you. And so when you read that in the light of how wretched you were, it means all the more, and it's precious and dear, and it makes you humble before God and say, God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness, because I deserve death, and it would be right for you to condemn me to hell because that's what I deserve. But you didn't. You've given me kindness and love and grace and mercy. What a loving God you are. What a Savior you are, God. Because I was foolish, and yet you showed me kindness and love that appeared for me. You understand what this is saying here? Jesus Christ came in the flesh and lived a perfect life so that He could take our spot and suffer and die. The wrath of God that was due us was poured out upon Him. The gospel was proclaimed, and through God's grace, He enlightened us to see that we are sinners, to see that we are foolish, and that we need Him. So we can't do that on our own. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. No matter how smart you are, how many good works you think you have to do to earn salvation, it's impossible. It's impossible. That's why we read, you know, when they're asking about, you know, how to get into heaven, in John chapter 6, Pastor Tim will get to shortly. You know, Christ is speaking spiritually about something that people are hearing physically. They're hearing in the flesh. And he says, they asked, if the apostles, the disciples asked, who then can be saved? What does he say? He says, well, man, this is impossible. With man, salvation is impossible. Not one person is able to save himself. It's impossible. That's what His Word tells us. But then what does He say? But with God, it's possible. Salvation comes from the Lord and from Him only. Not through man, which is what we're going to get to next week. Okay? So, He enlightened us. He showed us we are sinners through the preaching of His Word, giving us faith. It's a gift from God. Not of ourselves, unless we would boast. We could earn faith, if we could work for it, we would boast. If we were smart enough to save ourselves, who gets the credit? Man. But that's not the case. God be the Lord. God gets the credit. And that's the operation of salvation. The gift of His Son, preaching of the gospel, and the operations of the Holy Spirit to convict and enlighten us. These are all the love of God that appeared towards men. Verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. We'll get into that next week. But one thing that we need to look forward to is not by works. Right away, not by works. We were helpless. And that's something that we need to always remember, that we could not save ourselves. And if someone could say, oh, you know, I just was, you know, such a smart person, and had all this education, you know, and I analyzed the, you know, the different things here, and I've decided that, you know, God, I'm gonna get saved here. We couldn't do that on ourselves, on our own. We were unable. God had to do His work in us to show us we're sinners, to show us that we were dead in our trespasses, to show us that, yes, we do need Him. And see, when God does that work in you, then yes, you do realize that, and you accept Him. Once the light is turned on, you get it. And it never goes away. Just like we learned in 1 John. His seed is in us, and it remains in us. When He does a work in someone's life, and if He's really drawing someone to Himself and turns on the light, they get it. And they accept Him, and forever they're His. Now, you always hear this thing about, well, you know, He fell away, He backslid, or whatever. But that's not taught in the Bible. That's why it says in 1 John that His seed remains. If God gives someone His seed, it's not as if He says, well, you know, I take that one back. I decided, you know, I don't really like you anymore. Yes, we might have some sin that we fall into. All of us will still sin as long as we're here on the earth. But those who are truly His will be His until the end. Jesus says again in John 6, to those whom God has given me, I will lose not one. Not one. All that the Father gives to the Son keeps and loses not one. And what a relief that is. Because again, if it was up to us, we would blow it every single day, wouldn't we? We would blow our salvation every single day. Every single day. But thanks be to God that He keeps us and that His seed remains in us. And that on that last day, Christ will lift us up and say, this one is mine. I stand for him or her. And so one more time, I want us to read verses 3 and 4. And let this sink in. Cry out to God within yourself and say, God, thank you. Let this verse 3 and 4 reflect you. Look inward here. Look to the inward person in your own life. Where you were, where He's brought you. So let's read. And when we read, we ourselves remember, think, hey, this is me here. Okay? For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Doesn't it mean all the much more to you now? It does for me. And it should for me. So as you leave tonight, do not forget this. Do not forget what you were and where God has brought you. You didn't bring yourself because you couldn't. You know, I used the illustration once. I'll get more to it next week, Lord willing. But there's one pastor, preacher, who I'll leave nameless, who says, salvation is something like this. You know, God's on a big ship in the ocean, and we're in the ocean, and He sends us the life buoy, you know, the little circle thing, not a raft, but the
life preserver.
Life jacket.
Okay, and then we have to reach out for it and grab it. Okay, here's the difference. Okay, here's the difference. Here's what we find wrong with that. Okay, here's what we find wrong with free will, that we have to reach out and grab the life breath. Okay, the Bible says that what? We were dead. So, how does a dead guy reach out and grab the life breath? He can't. He cannot. That's why Jesus says in John 6, with salvation, with man, it is impossible. Dead men do not go. They can't. They're dead. They're just out there in the water, dead. Sharks and are nibbling all over and dead. And that's what the Bible declares us to be. We were dead. We're dead. So we could not reach out and grab that. But the Bible tells us that He takes us and gives us life. And that's what that is. He gives. He takes us. We were dead. He made us alive. And that's how He did His work in His life. That's how He gave us love. He takes a dead person who is at war with God and made him alive. Made him a son or daughter. Dead guy can't save himself. He can't do anything. It is impossible for man to save themselves. And so, again, I'm getting a little ahead, but Lord willing, we'll get more of that next week. But this is a great thing. It's a great thing because it gives all the glory to God. All of it. We get none of the glory, and rightfully so. Who would want to take glory from God? Who would want to take credit for their salvation? Who would want to boast in that? Well, yeah. Who would want to boast? Well, you know, faith, you know, I conjured up some faith, you know, it was way down here. I conjured up some faith, you know, God, I'm pretty good. No, there was none good. No, not one. God gets all the glory because salvation is from Him and Him alone. Think of you, think of us. You were that dead guy floating in the water. The fish were having a feast on us. That's what we were. Okay. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank You so much. Oh God, our Savior. What a Savior indeed You are. You would take enemies and show Your love towards us. You would show kindness to Your enemies. To those whom You have chosen for salvation, Your enemies, and have saved us. You have shown kindness and love towards man and made it appear in your word. And appear in sending us to Your Christ, sending us Jesus, Your Son. We thank You, O God, for giving us Your Word, because faith comes through hearing, and even that is from You. You gave us the faith even to believe in You. And when You give us something, You perfect it. And that is a glorious thing. That is the just amazing part of salvation that we can never even fully comprehend. But we know that it's amazing. And Your ways are so much higher than ours. And there's no way we can fully even comprehend that. But Lord, we thank You. We thank You for showing us kindness. And we thank You for showing us goodness. And we thank You for showing us Your love. Giving to us Your precious Word. For taking guys like Paul and John and the disciples to proclaim Your Word. To proclaim the good news throughout all the earth. That You would be preached. Christ would be preached. His love and His crucifixion. And His resurrection and what he has done for us, we thank you. We thank you that we get to sit in services on Sunday and Wednesday and Friday and hear your word. This is love towards us. Thank you. Thank you that we get to hear from you through your word. Thank you for sending your son to die and stand in my place. Thank you for taking a dead man, a foolish man, and making me alive. Help me to remember that. And let it cause me to be grateful and to love you.